Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. Luke 22, 31 through 34. The Bible says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, listen to that phrase, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. Back to that 32nd verse. It says, when you have turned back. Would you repeat that after me? And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to talk about. When you turn back. What's the title of this sermon? When you turn back. Mm-hmm. Anybody here ever made a mistake in your life? I mean, anybody look back over your life and just see you just messed it up? I mean, you can't say much in your defense. You showed up for the test and you flunked the test. And if you're not careful, you will feel so low down because you've messed up that you stay down. But this sermon says, don't stay down. God got some more for you to do, and you got to get up in order to do it. God is calling you to move past your failures to strengthening others who are subject to fall in the same hole that you just came out of. That's what's going on right here in this text. Simon Peter had promised the Lord, Lord, I'm with you. I'm your man. I got you. Yeah, I'm ready to go to prison. Just tell me when we're going. I'm ready to die for you. I mean, I'm your man. And then within 24 hours, so this text is on Thursday, on Friday, what we call Good Friday, the next day, this same Simon Peter talking about, I'm with you. I'm going to go to prison with you. I'm going to die for you. This same Peter told the woman, I don't even know who this Jesus is. He flunked that test. And the text says that he left the courtyard weeping. He was so heartbroken about his failure. But God had plans for him. The text says, when you have turned back, when you get yourself together, when you get back on the horse, when you get back on the right road, going the right way. Peter, I got a job for you. I want you to strengthen others who are going through what you have been through. And church, that's what I want to put on your mind and hearts today. People like Simon should overcome failures and strengthen others. What is the pastor talking about? He's talking about people like Simon should overcome failures and strengthen others. So I need to talk about people like Simon. Simon, you remember from the first Sunday in February, John chapter 1, has a rather short journey with Jesus. From John 1 to Luke 22, can't be much more than 3 years. Jesus' public ministry was only like three and a half years at the most. He's by far not a veteran. But he gets hooked up with Jesus because of his brother Andrew in John chapter 1. And somehow, by the grace of God, he becomes not just a disciple, not just one of the 70, not just one of the 12, but Simon Peter. That's the same person, Simon Peter, is also one of the inner circle disciples. When Jesus have special stuff to do, Mountain of Transfiguration, raising the girl from the dead, special stuff, Jesus don't carry the whole 12 with him. He get that inner circle group, Simon Peter, James, and John. It's true, Simon got some rough spots. He can be mouthy, he can be impulsive, he speaks quicker than he thinks. But his good outweighs his bad. He, no matter what else you say about him, ought to be given credit for allowing God to use him. Here then is the preaching question. Do you allow God to use you? Do you let God use you? Different way of answering that question is, what do you do for the Lord? Now, I want you to have more on your list than you come to church and watch me preach. Listen to the choir sing. Give a few dollars in the worship experience. You ought to have more on your list than that. And the reason you and I ought to serve the Lord, the number one reason, top list, is pure thankfulness. When you think about how good the Lord has already been in your life, you ought to be running to try to find something, anything to do for him. God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. We ought to love him so much that we obey his command to give our best in service. Just pure thankfulness ought to make us get up from the pew and say, Lord, here's my hands, here's my feet, here's my mouth, here's my mind, have your way. But then you and I ought to let God use us, because there are so many blessings involved in serving the Lord. There really is a reality in serving a true and a living God. Matthew 6:33 is correct. If we would seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all of these things that we need will surely be added unto us. I wish there was even more young people to hear me say that you don't come up short. You're not shortchanged. You don't miss out by giving God your all, even as a young person. You are at your best when you are in the hands of the Lord. Regardless of your family situation, regardless of where you live, regardless of how you're doing in school, regardless of what you don't have, and whatever challenges you got in your life, if you would just put yourself in the hands of the Lord, I am a living testimony. God can do just mind-blowing stuff in and through your life. There are blessings attached to serving the Lord. But then you and I ought to serve the Lord, because there is punishment attached to being unfruitful, unprofitable for God. In my devotional, I came across again Mark chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. Mark 11, 13 and 14. Jesus walked up on this fig tree, had all of these leaves, but no figs. Jesus was hungry, and he was obviously disturbed by the figless fig tree. So much so that he cursed the tree. That story is not in the Bible just to show you Jesus gets hungry and gets grumpy when he gets hungry. That's not the purpose of the story. The purpose of the story is to get us to see that when we don't live up to what God expects of us, we are subject to be punished by God. If God will curse the fig tree, then you ought to be careful about bearing no fruit for the Lord. Just as Jesus expected figs from the fig tree, he expects Christians to bear some fruit of being a Christian. There ought to be some Christian service that comes from a Christian. And therefore, you and I ought to constantly look at our life and ask, are we like Simon in the area of Christian service? Do we give God the very best that we have in whatever we do? If your ministry is singing, do you sing like heaven is listening? Or do you sing like, well, I'm only a background singer, so I don't, you know, have to go all out? If you are an usher, do you usher as unto the Lord, or do you usher as, well, Reverend, it's just ushering. What's the big deal? If your job, if your ministry is working with the media equipment, do you operate that equipment as if it's God's equipment and God is watching over your shoulder? Or do you act like this ain't no big deal, it's just DVDs? Whatever you do for Jesus, you ought to do it with your all and all. He is watching you and me. Be like Simon in the area of service. Come on. Talking now about failure. Say all you want about Simon's service. If you tell the whole truth, at some point you got to get around to how Satan wanted to sift, shake up Simon, and was successful in getting Simon to fall. I need a minute here. Satan is always trying to sift, shake up, cause trouble in the lives of those who are serious about serving the Lord. Now, if you half-stepping, if you playing games, Satan give you a pass. He say, it is not much over here. Let me spend my time on something important. But if you are sold out, if you're giving God the very best that you have, I don't want you to be surprised to find that Satan gives extra attention to sifting, shaking, causing trouble in your life. He may cause trouble in your family. Can anybody say amen about family trouble? He can send problems in your finances. Anybody know about your money being funny? He can send problems in your health. He can send problems in your faith. Things you thought were resolved and clear in your spirit. If you think too much and give the devil too much room, he can create doubt where faith used to be. And perhaps the most damaging thing that Satan does is causes problems with our personal discipline into all of our lives. There are times when we really want to do a good job for the Lord. And with a good conscience and a pure heart, we tell the Lord, Lord, this is what I'm going to do for you. And as you start the journey of doing what you got a mind to do for the Lord, the devil has a way of sifting, shaking, causing trouble along the way. And you and I find ourselves with Simon Peter in that courtyard, weeping about our own failures. Can y'all hear me? Now, academically, it may give you some comfort to know that Satan must operate within the permission of God. Verse 31, the text says, Satan has asked to sift all of you. So Satan can't just roll up on you and dog you. He got to get permission from God to cause trouble in your life. So that gives you some comfort academically. But when you look at your experience, and I may assume too much, when I look at my experience, sometimes it seems like God gives Satan too much permission with me. Now maybe this has not been your experience, but in my experience, like Daddy say yes too many times to this devil. And I know you've heard the Lord won't give you more than you can bear. But I think sometimes he get about as close to as much as I can bear. He gets mighty close. He has a whole lot more confidence in me than I have in myself. Satan, you see, it is not just you trying to live right. That's not the end of the story. It is you and I trying to live right in spite of Satan sifting, shaking, causing trouble in our life. This thing wouldn't be so hard if it was just a matter of going from A to B on a level ground. Everybody can do that. What I'm telling you is, every step you take, the devil is on the other end pushing. Every step you take, he's putting potholes along the way. Every step you take, he's setting traps for you. Every step you take, he's trying to distract you and talking about, wouldn't you like to have some of this? And why you got to go all the way down there? Nobody else is all the way down there. It is a battle against the devil. And I fear we don't talk about him enough. But you can't believe in the Holy Spirit and angels and dismiss Satan and demons. This stuff all goes together. That's like saying you believe in the mountain, but you don't believe there's a valley. You believe there's a head, but you don't believe there's a tails to the coin. You can't have Holy Spirit and angels and dismiss devil and demons. What I'm telling you is this devil, Satan in this text, is doing all he can to get you to do the exact opposite of what God is calling you and me to do. And worse than that is sometimes he causes the best of us to fall flat on our face. This Simon Peter, I mean, he's my boy and all, but come on, a spade is a spade. He flunked the courtyard. The women asked him, aren't you one of those preachers that hung out with Jesus? And Simon, perhaps the first time, spoke quicker than his mind wanted him to speak. And so he just blurted out, no. But the second time she asked him, he knew what he was saying. And the third time she asked him, and he started cursing, he sure enough knew what he was saying. That's why he was crying when he left the courtyard. And if I was at the beginning of my journey and thought that all of the promises I made to God I'm going to keep, then I might condemn Simon Peter. But when I look at how much Simon Peter is in me, I got to get up off of him. I got to appreciate the fact that the best of us are subject to fall, especially when Satan is shifting, shaking, causing trouble in our life. Listen, children, these texts are not in the Bible just as gossip. The Lord is not just airing dirty laundry for the sake of airing dirty laundry. It's a reason the Bible shows us that Abraham lied about his wife twice. It's a reason why the Bible tells us that David had Uriah killed after he had sex with Uriah's wife. It's a reason God tells us that Solomon had all of these wives, 700 wives and 300 side pieces. God! Man, he couldn't have been with all them women. He couldn't have been too. Lord, keep my mind on your word. Why is all this in the Bible? I thought the Bible was supposed to be about God. Why you got all these people's business in the Bible? I think God is trying to get us to see that if Abraham, the father of faith, can fail, if David, a man after God's own heart, can fail, if Solomon, one of the wisest men on earth, can fail, then I don't know what make you think you just all of that, that you are beyond failing. One of my role models, he is dead and gone now, Dr. S.W. Williams, used to pastor a church in Indianapolis, Indiana, as well as in Buffalo, New York, simultaneously. He's a bad man. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. He said, in talking with some preachers, he said there was a period in his life, short period, but a period in his life that he lived above sin. Prior to this period, he wrestled with sin. After this period, he wrestled with sin. But for a period, he lived above sin. He said that period was when he rented an apartment above a bar. He said for that season of his life, he lived above sin. His point was, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And so, let me give you some help as I remind myself, humility can make the fall softer. When you are an humble person and you fall, you don't have as far to fall down. But when you act like you all of that, it's a long ways from all the way up here to tearing that ground up. Humility is my suggestion for many of us. And be careful about condemning others. When you see other people messing up, failing, rough spots, doing wrong, be careful about opening your mouth, talking about how terrible that is, how bad that is. I would never do anything like that. Be careful. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Galatians 6, 1 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourself or you also may be tempted. Be careful about talking about what you will never do. Now, some of you all say you will never do because you don't get opportunity to do. So you don't get no credit for not doing what didn't nobody invite you to do. I'm trying to just tiptoe around here. I think y'all get what I'm saying here. Some of y'all talking about what y'all would never do is because ain't nobody asking you. Shucks. You don't get no credit for not doing what you don't have nobody asking you to do. What? This is what I'm trying to get you to understand. Failure comes into all of our life if you live long enough. And it is because Satan's job is to get people like Simon to fall. And you can feel so low down when you fall that you will want to give up. But this sermon says, God has a plan for you that goes beyond failure. I done changed lanes. I'm talking about strengthening others now. Strengthening others. I want you to know that even though Simon fell, and he should not have fallen, that was wrong, that was bad, God still had a plan for his life. And that's what I'm trying my best to get you to see. I don't want you to think sin is all right. Stop messing up my sermon. That's not what I'm saying. It's wrong. You ought to live as holy as you can. You ought to be as sanctified as you can. You ought to walk the chalk. You ought to walk by faith. faith and not by sight. It's some stuff that's wrong and you ought to stop doing it. Stop sleeping around. Stop smoking all that stuff. Stop drinking all that stuff. Stop gambling away all that baby's milk money. You got to keep yourself together. Yeah, sin is still sin. But when you sin, the Lord has given us a remedy. And the remedy is not to camouflage our sin. The remedy is not to act like sin is not sin. The remedy is not to try to explain away your sin. That's not the remedy. The remedy is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we would confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. And I like this part right here. Cleanse us from all. Maybe I whispered. I said, all of our iniquities. There's folks sitting around you right now that if they knew what you did, they wouldn't be sitting there close to you. But God knows you. And he says, this is how you stay tight with me. You don't stay tight with me by trying to act like you all of that. The way you stay tight with me is stay come clean with me. It's me. I'm master. I'm the cause of the trouble. If you can just confess your sin, God is willing to forgive you of your sin. Even when church folk are not ready to forgive you. God got a whole lot more grace than church folk have. I oftentimes caution folk when we have a testimony service and I see people getting caught up and want to tell stuff. I pass them a note, girl, don't tell people that. Don't. There's some stuff people ain't ready to hear yet. I pastored a member who wanted to confess that she used to indulge in some homosexual activity. And she had shared it with me, and she was over it, she said, by the time she talked to me. And so we was going on. And she said, Pastor, I think I want to tell the church. And I said, you sure? Maybe not. Let the Lord lead you, but I don't know if he lead you to stand up and tell all these people. Because even though you're saying you passed it now, they are going to be stuck. And every time they see you, they're going to be thinking about you. So don't you confuse God forgives all iniquity with church folk. These folk down here, they got some long memories. They can't remember John 3:16, but they remember your sin. They done forgot the scripture I'm preaching about right now. They don't know what chapter I'm in, don't know what verse I'm in, but they will remember for the next 20 years what you open your mouth and say you did. Book said if you confess your sin to God, God will forgive your sin. Some of that's just TMI. That's just too much information for us. So confess your sin to the Lord. Receive his forgiveness. Move on with your life. The same God who's able to pay for your life insurance policy, pay for the penalty of your sin so you can go to heaven, he also pays your health insurance premium. He pays for you to be able to live down here with joy and with peace. You don't need to be walking around with all this guilt and remorse on your heart. Have you not heard that God is a gracious God? He's a long-suffering God. He's a forgiving God. Don't let these folk around here have you walking around here with a guilt trip. If you knew what they did, you would never be thinking of talking about, I'm intimidated, I'm too ungodly to be around. If you knew what some of these cross-legged, Holy Ghost-looking people have done recently. Now, come on, everybody get a pass for what you did 20 years ago. I'm talking about what they did 20 days ago. You wouldn't be sitting here feeling spiritually intimidated. Listen, that pastor. All have sinned. Everybody sitting up in here have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God recently. Yeah. But it doesn't have to be fatal. I said it doesn't have to be fatal. When you flunk, when you mess up, when it's nobody to blame except yourself, you don't have to waddle in your sin. You don't have to have a pity party. You can come clean with God. God knows the end from the beginning. Look again at the text. Jesus tells Simon before he even get to the courtyard, Simon, this is what I want you to do when you have turned back to me. I want you to take the failure and the recovery from the courtyard and use it to strengthen your brothers and your sisters. I'm gonna take this exit. If you can look back over your life and see you've made some mistakes, but by the grace of God, you're still standing. That stuff ought not just be hidden under the carpet. But to whom much is given, much is required. You know, the biggest problem we have in church is not sinners acting like sinners. It is the supposed saints who act like they've been saints all of their life. It is disturbing to see how judgmental we can be when we see our young daughters coming here pregnant out of marriage. I want to make it clear that sex outside of marriage has always been wrong. It is wrong and it always will be wrong. But when you act like you have no comprehension, and then you act like you don't know what's going on, you do more harm than good. I think I'm preaching over your head. Let me put it right down here in your lap. You know, it would be all right to condemn a child for getting pregnant if you were as pure as you pretend to be. But everybody sitting up in here ought to be thankful that you don't get pregnant every time you have sex outside of marriage. And then you ought to be sure enough thankful that you don't always get pregnant because you've looked lustfully upon somebody else. Y'all must have heard by now that Jesus said, not only is adultery wrong, but he who looks upon a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart. Now we are the ones that have strata of sin. We have little sin, misdemeanor sins, and then we have felony sins, and then we have cardinal sins. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that all of us have some sin. Yes, the reason why the Lord keeps you on your feet is not so you can act as if you are sinless. But the Lord want to use you to help somebody else wrestle, journey, struggle through their issues. Did you hear me? It ought not be any child that come to this church that can't find somebody that's willing to take them under their wing. Did you hear me? 14-year-old boy just joined church, just got baptized today. That boy ought to find some men around this church that's willing to be an uncle figure in his life. Did you hear me? Now, as dysfunctional as my family is, at least I had some uncles who could pull me to the side and tell me stuff that daddy didn't want to tell me. Now they were saying the same thing, but when my favorite uncle told me, he had a way of telling it to me in such a way I could take it better. Every boy in this church ought to be able to find a man that would take them under their wing. But you can't take anybody under their wing and you don't even know their name. Did you hear me? The reason why the relationship building is so important, the reason why the intergenerational projects are so important, because we've got to get to know one another so we can help one another. Did you hear me? The danger of a sanctuary this size is you got folk who will sit way in the back that will never get to know the folk that sit way up here in the front. You got people that sit on this side who will never get to know the folk on this side of the church. So we have to be intentional. Gotta go out of our way to walk across the no man's land, shake hands and get to know one another, build relationships so your triumph over your failures can help strengthen your brothers and sisters that's coming along right behind you. I gotta close up here, children, but we have this Bring a Friend Sunday coming next week, and I can't help but believe there's somebody in your circle that needs to hear what the Lord has done in your life. Not so you can have bragging rights, but just to let them know what God has done for others, he's able to do the same thing. Same thing for you. That's all here. I'm through when I tell you. I'm glad. I said I'm so glad that God's grace is still sufficient. If there's any Simons sitting up in here, if there's anybody here that got sin that's alive and well in your life, if there's anybody here that got some dirty, stinking, low-down sin in your life, I got good news for you. God, specializes in taking man to guttermost and doing God's uttermost. I wish I had a witness. You can't be so bad. You can't be so dirty. You can't be so low down that grace is not able to catch you. If you can just bow down on your knees and tell the Lord, Lord, this not my mama, this not my daddy, this not my sister, this not my brother, but it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. If you just tell the Lord, it's my fault, I messed up, I flunked the test, I did wrong, I don't need an attorney, no need for a jury, I'm guilty as charged. God will, I wish I had a witness here. Oh, God will forgive you of your sin. He'll pick you up, he'll clean you off, he'll place your feet on a higher ground. I'm getting out of here, but is it anybody here? Is it anybody in the room who's honest enough to look back over your life and say, yes, Reverend, I know what you're talking about. I messed up, I've fallen short, I've blown it, but by the grace of God, I'm still standing, I'm still showing up, I'm still in this thing. Isn't it amazing how far-reaching God's grace is? I know why the songwriter says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, 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 hey. Oh, yes, sir. I'm glad. I said I'm glad that with my best is not good enough. I got some more power that goes beyond my power. When my strength is exhausted, when my willpower is all gone, I still got some Holy Ghost power. I got a reserve tank that can take me further than I could ever go on my own. And even when, I said even when, I mess up, I still got some grace. I love grace. I got some grace. It's undeserved mercy. It's unmerited favor. It's a chance that would never pass the vote. If you needed somebody to make a motion to extend grace, nobody would make the motion. Nobody would second the motion. You would never get a majority to give you grace. That's why it's undeserved mercy and unmerited favor. But what I love about my Jesus is his grace is sufficient when people have turned you off, when people have written you off, when people have said you're unredeemable. Grace will pick you up no matter how dirty, no matter how stinky, no matter how bad, no matter how jacked up your life might be. Grace comes down to the cisterns of life. Grace will pick you up out of the dirtiest gutter, clean you off. Grace, it's a mess. Grace loves you more image worth saving. There's still some God stuff worth redeeming. Hang in there. Don't lose your mind. Keep your hands in the Master's hand. Grace will make the sun come up in the morning. Grace makes the journey worth completing. Don't give the devil the satisfaction. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up the ship. Don't stud what people say about you. Just bow down and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm having a rough time. I know better, but I can't seem to do any better. That's grace talk. If you could just tell him the truth, look what he'll do. He will cleanse you from all iniquity. Ain't that all right? Ain't it all right? Grace. Failure doesn't have to be fatal. Don't have to be fatal. Hear the whole sentence. Don't just key in. Don't take a sound bite. Hear the whole sentence. Failure does not have to be fatal. Sin is bad. Sin is terrible. Bad things happen when you sin. Do all you can to stop sinning. But when your best results in failure, you done fell flat on your face and people are rubbing it in. I'm telling you, there's this thing called grace that can pick you back up. It can clean all that stuff off you. And all of these mouthy, condemning people around you, the Lord can make them serve you your next meal. He prepares a table for you in the very presence of your enemies. This thing is not over. If you would just come clean with God, God can fix you up and use you in his service. You've come too far just to throw in the towel now. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things